that the tree was good for food, that it had a pleasing appearance, and that the tree was desirable. Say desirable. Desirable. To desire. Something to be desired. Did you know you can desire things in different places? You can desire things for the flesh, but you can also desire things spiritually. Amen. And in fact, the Bible tells us there are three major classifications of sin. Yeshua was tempted in all of these points extensively. Did you know he was tempted more than you've ever been tempted? Does anybody know why Yeshua got tempted more than you've ever been tempted? That's certainly true, but the other fact is, none of us have withstood to the place where all of them need to be thrown at us. The devil will stop when he finds one that gets you. If he can get you to take offense, he doesn't have to go any further. If somebody says something to you, you say, you get in a snit about it. Guess what? The devil didn't have to go any further with that. But he did with Yeshua. The Bible says it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's look again at what the woman said. She saw, what's that? The lust of the eyes, that the tree was good for food and that it was a thing of, well, here it says, of lust for the eyes, and that the tree was desirable for imparting wisdom. Desirable for imparting wisdom. Think about that. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What did Satan tell her a little later? He said, God knows that the day you eat it, you'll be like him. What is that? That's the pride of life. That's where Satan fell. We believe he fell in the garden. We believe he fell in the garden when he saw all that God had given unto his man. God spoke it, and I think that was the time that Satan took a nosedive and became Hasatan, the adversary. It says, she took it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. That was in verse 6. And then 7 says, then the eyes. Say eyes again. The eyes of both of them were opened. But remember now, we've talked about a place in the eyes, the lust of the eyes. That's the eyes that were open, was the lustful eyes. The eyes were open, all right, but they were lustful eyes. Now, how can we be sure about that? How can we be sure that they didn't have spiritual knowledge the way God did? Well, notice what happened next. It says in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked. In the New Living Translation, it says at the moment their eyes were opened, or one of the meanings of that word, paka, is open to the senses, sensual seeing. They suddenly felt shame. Say shame. Shame, shame, shame. Did you know that I believe shame came in at the garden? And I don't believe it just affected them. I got to thinking the other day about how our dog got ashamed one time. Animals feel shame. Have you ever seen your dog be ashamed? You can make an animal ashamed. We didn't make him feel ashamed. He was out in a real cold time, icy time, and ice had fallen off of the bottom of our car and was laying in the driveway. And I think I was gone with the car, so it was just laying there. But he hadn't seen it because the car had been there, and after I left, he saw that. He saw that ice, and he thought it was an intruder. And he went charging out there. Henrietta said he lunged out there. He charged out and looked, and it was a chunk of ice. What did he do? He looked around to see if anybody saw him, and then she said he just wilted, you know. He was ashamed. Well, I believe shame came. I don't believe animals felt shame until man released it into. They had dominion, you see, in the earth, and they released shame, and now there's shame. Shame in the earth, and people use shame. They think they use shame. They try to use shame sometimes for positive ways. You try to use shame to get someone to feel ashamed so they won't do it. But that's not what God wants. That's sin consciousness. And we don't want to make people sin conscious. We're, you know, listen, we all miss it. And you know, I've got to tell you, you'll be doing good if you get through this day without doing something you could be ashamed of. Really. We just have a lot of opportunities. But we're growing, praise God. I said we're growing, but they felt shame, and we found that because of their nakedness, and because of their nakedness, God gave them a blood sacrifice covering. You remember that? He slew animals and took the skins of the animals and made the covering. We talked about the connection between that and the circumcision that God began through Abraham, Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision, the covering of nakedness, again, taking away the nakedness to the world is what it was. So we've talked about this already. We're going to go faster today. What's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, I want to tell you what I believe it is more than anything else. I believe it is the separation of the soul and the spirit. But it's more than just separation of soul and spirit. It is the perverting of the order that God has given. Now, there's a reason for that, but when man was created, God created him with his spirit in control. And by the way, the new creation, that's who we are. We say it all the time, I am a spirit, I have a soul. And you can kind of see that. I am a spirit, but I possess a soul. And I live in a body. You can see that as the way they were. And the spirit was in dominion. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened to their spirit? And the reason for that was because it was separated from God. Or, what did God tell them? In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. So, spiritual death occurred at that time. Amen. Without God's remedy for this, they would have spent eternity in the lake of fire, created for the devil and his angels. But they aren't, because God had a remedy. And that remedy was foreshadowed by showing the shedding of blood to cover their nakedness, which, by the way, wasn't a problem to God until they disobeyed him. And when they disobeyed him, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life were awakened in them, and they became soulish creatures. Say soulish. Say carnal. Say flesh-led. That's what they were. And in that, they became self-conscious. Self-conscious. Now, self-consciousness is bad in and of itself, but when you put self-consciousness along with the fact that we are fallen, our entire consciousness is of being fallen and separated from God, which explains why when God came to speak to them as he had in the Spirit, they reacted by running and hiding. They were self-conscious because they were sin-conscious. And this is the way people today live. I'm talking about many believers live in sin consciousness. They always are looking at how they're missing it. Now, let me quickly say, it's not all right to miss it. We're not supposed to be missing it. You're not supposed to be satisfied with missing it, but neither are you to be ashamed. You are to run to God for the remedy. Anytime you see sin, when you discover, and this is what goes on next here, God comes into the garden, and what does he say? Adonai called to the man, "Where are you?" And why did he call to the man, "Where are you?" He wanted him to see where he had gone. He wanted to see where he had departed to. He had gone away from the presence of God to a place where there was no safety. Can you imagine what it would have been like in that garden if man lost his dominion to animals? Well, it's just the way it is nowadays. There are animals that kill people, eat people, trample people. Adam didn't have to worry about that before. God brought them all by him and he named them. Whatever the names that Adam called animals, that's the names they went by. So there wasn't any fear of them at all, but suddenly now fear has been released too, hadn't it? Because of sin consciousness, because of fear. Sin consciousness perverts our shalom. Now let's say that the way we say shalom is. Sin consciousness perverts the nothing missing, nothing broken blessing that God has given to us, doesn't it? It not only perverts it, but it destroys it. Shalom is destroyed by sin consciousness. And what Deb just said, the soul and the body are now the most important things. Isn't that funny how people always want to know how you're feeling, how you're doing? And you know, it's such a normal thing, we do it without even thinking about it. I mean, you meet somebody and a lot of times you say, "How are you?" What we probably should start doing is start saying, "Well, hi there, you're blessed. I bless you." Isn't that right? But we'd look funny because none of us will do that. But the fact is, you know, I'm trying to do more and more. When somebody asks me how I am, that's what I'm going to tell them. I am blessed. I am blessed. And I'm trying to get away from asking, especially some people, you don't want to ask them how they are. You know, they'll tell you. They just plain will tell you. They've always got something they've focused on that's going to drag them down, and I don't want to be party to dragging people down, do you? I want to be the one that lifts people up. When your spirit rules the way God intended it to be, what kind of consciousness do you have? Grace. What? Grace. What'd you say? Christ consciousness, which is God inside consciousness. And this is what God wants us to have all the time. Perpetually, you should know that God's in you. You should just know this. I mean, it should. And not only you know he's in you, but you know him so well, you begin to know, oh, there's love in me. God's love dwells in me. I sense the love of God in me. I'm filled with the love of God. The love of God fills me up and just makes me aware of God. I'm in him and he's in me. Isn't that what Yeshua prayed for us in John 17? I in them and thou in me. Listen to what he said in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Knowing God, the God inside me, I know him. That's eternal life. I know God. Yes. No. You see, we try to do something with emotions that the fact is supposed to do to the emotions. Eventually, the emotions come along to this, don't they? Eventually, your emotions get along and you feel like what you've been confessing and saying. But it starts with believing what you say you believe, and you cause yourself to get in line with what the Word of God says about you by saying it. By saying it. And as you say it and say it, then eventually your emotions will say, "Hey, you know, we're the righteousness of God in Christ, and we can rejoice too." But sometimes they're latecomers about this, aren't they? Sometimes they say, "Well, I feel like anything but righteous. I sure don't feel righteous." But we are anyhow, because that's what God made us. He says that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, the one you sent. So Christ consciousness, Christ inside consciousness, the anointed one inside me, God inside me. That's the way I should be living. And the first step in maintaining that, I'm going to call it a position. Say position. How many of you know position is important? I say position is important. Where you are positioned is important. Now I want to say something to you. You know, you can get in the shower in some houses and never get wet because the shower stall's big enough that you can turn the shower on, and if you don't choose to stand under the spout where the water comes out, you don't even get wet. Is that right? Now, I have to admit, most shower stalls nowadays are not made like that. But I happen to have one that's about 5 feet long, and, you know, if I just have the regular shower head on, I can stand at the back wall and not even get wet. I don't even get wet. Now, let's start talking about what God has for us. What does God have for us? Well, He's blessed us. And His blessing is according to, and you said it earlier, it's according to grace. The blessing of God is according to grace. It's His giving. Grace is giving. Giving, giving, giving. But how many of you know that the grace of God has never been withdrawn? The grace of God is like the shower stall. It's coming out. Amen? It's coming out. But did you know there are many, many, many people that won't take it? They won't get under the grace. They won't allow themselves to get under the grace. They will not make means of the plan that God has for you to position yourself in His grace. And what is that means? Yeshua is the way, but the way we exercise it is by trust. Let me give you the scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, look at it this way. I'm saved by this grace that's coming out all the time, but the only way I can get it is by going through faith, which positions me, gives me a position in the grace of God. I have position in His grace. Amen. So we need to hear it and hear it and hear it. And by the way, it's not just prior to salvation. It's a part of salvation is hearing and hearing and hearing. Because every time we hear, it confirms and builds again what we already have in Him. That they may know you. Say no. Know. To know, that doesn't mean I know about. That means I know you. And you know, I don't believe any of us fully know one another. Do we? No. In fact, let me give you a little shocking statement. You don't even know you like God knows you. There's things about you you don't know. And the reason I say that is God thinks you're precious, and a lot of you don't think you're precious. And a lot of you won't listen long enough to find out that you are. Because that's how it comes, through hearing and hearing and hearing. There are some people I'd rather sleep than be led by the Spirit of God. There are some people I'd rather stay home than hear the message that they're valuable and precious to God. There are some people, they've got other things to do. Here's the problem. They want the blessings of the Lord without taking position. Isn't that right? A lot of people want to operate from the world. In fact, I find that people have so much activity in the world that they can't enter into the fullness of the things of God. Many believers are that way. They've always got something that is more important than the things of God. There's always something that they can put ahead of it, and because we live a life of grace, we say, it's okay, I can just float through life in sloppy agape. You heard that term before, haven't you? Well, agape is, of course, the Greek word for love, and it just makes a nice rhyme, sloppy agape. You know, I can just do whatever I want to do, and because God loves me, It doesn't make any difference. Well, the fact that God loves you doesn't mean that you're allowing Him to let that blessing that He has given for you be taken. How do you take it? Well, that's what it means when it says receive it. Receive the things of the Spirit of God is to take them, to take them. And so that's what's happened to people. They don't know. So the first step in that position is knowing God. Knowing Him the way He really is. Knowing His love. In fact, knowing that God is love means that when you know love, you know God. When you know God, you know love. You don't know the world's definition of love, but you know the real love of God, which is, I want you to know, it's complete. It's absolute. It's love in a way that you can't even understand it if you don't experience it. But there is a place. Say a place. Throughout the parts of Torah, God tells the children of Israel, I'm going to show you the place. The place. He tells them when He starts bringing them out of Egypt, I'm going to set my name in the place. Say the place. That's Hamakom. Hamakom. Makom is place. Ha, the place. Hamakom, the place. Well, the place that Jacob wrestled with the angel wasn't the same place. But the place where he saw the ladder coming down from heaven and the angels ascending and descending, that was the place. Say the place. That's the place. The place. Where is it? Bethel. That's right. Bethel is house of God. It also, you need to understand this. This is important to get this. It's also Mount Moriah. Where's what's that place? Well, it's Bethel. It's the place where Abraham took Isaac, right? It also is a place called Mount Zion. Mount Zion. It's the place where the temple was built. Solomon's temple was built right on that place. The place. The place. Say there is a place. Now, where is the temple of God? There it is. The place. Now, what have we been talking about here? Moving in the Spirit. If you want to get what we're talking about today, we're talking about the Spirit and the soul. We're putting the Spirit in its rightful place and putting the soul back to a place of servant. The soul is to serve the Spirit. Does your soul serve your spirit, or is it the other way around? See, if your soul is serving your spirit, you'll use your soul to carry out the wishes of the Spirit. Rather than, I'm carrying out the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life here on this earth. No, we need to get it turned around where we're using the soul as a servant. Amen. The soul is a servant for the Spirit. There is a place, and it's called in Him, a place in Him. Now, this place is significant because it's the same in God's mind as what He showed us with the place, which is now Jerusalem, the place. Did you know God still says He has a lot of respect? In fact, He says Jerusalem's the apple of His eye. Did you know that? I believe that's the way He says it. I know He says some of His people are, David and different ones, the apple of His eye. But the fact is, God won't turn loose of Jerusalem. So all of this talk about dividing the land of Israel, you might as well get away from that. God's not going to allow that to happen. When man tries to do that, they're going to turn loose all kinds of chaos on themselves. There's a place, and the place in Him is knowing God. Say, I'm in Him. I'm in Him. Well, you've opened the door to knowing God. Knowing God. But here's what we're talking about. We're not talking about knowing as a just having facts, which is knowing about. But we're talking about knowing or relating to in a personal way. In fact, I like this term, full personal revelation. Full personal revelation. We know that everybody that comes to the Lord comes through a personal relationship, right? It's not just, well, Jane's a Christian and I believe like she does, so I'm going to be a Christian too. Or sometimes children do this. Well, my parents are Christians, and used to be especially, that, you know, people would say, yeah, my whole family's Christian. Well, it doesn't necessarily indicate that everybody's born again. It just means that they carry out and know the same tenets. But there is a place, and that place is in Him. When the Lord comes into you, then you have the ability to get into Him. And you understand that you can see in that coming together, unifying, echad, coming together, is exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about knowing. Does it have levels? Yes. We don't start out the same as we end up when we do this. There's a place that's not in Him too, right? A lot of the world is not in Him. Most of the world is not in Him. And the reason is the grace is still flowing, but it's not being sought. Nobody wants to get under the grace. If they don't want to get under the grace, why don't they want to get under the grace, Kurt? All right, afraid. Why else? Babylonian minds. Why else? Their eyes are blinded, the scripture says. Eyes are blinded so that they don't receive. What is the mechanism for opening blind eyes? But you're going to be the agency of God to open the blind eyes of these people who have blind eyes. How are you going to do it? How are you going to be that agency? What are you going to be doing? That's right. It's our light. Our light opens eyes, and the way that our light opens eyes is we are word bearers. We bear the word. We demonstrate the word through our lives, through our light shining. We're salt in the earth. And the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, this is how the Western congregations have missed it. How shall they hear without a preacher? A lot of people think, well, I've got to get them into a place where there's a preacher, not knowing that God doesn't look at you differently than a preacher, because as far as He's concerned, you're equipped to preach. Woo-hoo. Amen. You're preachers. You tell the good news. And your telling of the good news has every bit as much power as an ordained minister or a pastor's telling the good news. The only difference is titles. And what does God think of titles? I don't think He's impressed, personally. I don't think He's impressed if you call yourself bishop or even pope. He's the one that has made us saints together with Him. Amen? We're saints. We know Him. There's a place that's not in Him where no grace is sought after. Because they're not hearing, they can't believe. They can't trust. You got to hear to trust. Faith comes by hearing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Talks about wisdom and knowledge. Remember, that's what she was looking for. It gives wisdom and knowledge. And their eyes were open, but we said it. What eyes were open? Not the eyes of their understanding, but the eyes of their flesh. The eyes of the flesh were open, and suddenly they became soulish individuals. They became carnal individuals. They were open to natural knowledge, but devoid of the Word. And there's so much of that in the world today. Think about this. I mean, knowledge has been increased. There's all kinds of knowledge. They've got trucks actually manufactured already that can drive themselves down the highway. Well, I'd like it if they program them so they don't get out in the middle lane. Keep them over on that right lane where trucks belong. One of the things that I've heard is the laws are actually being discussed that would slow trucks down a bit. Well, I don't know about you, but every time I hear about something like that, then the next thing I hear is how somebody hacked into these big mainframe computers, and I think, boy, could that be a mess, huh? You know, yeah. But anyhow, knowledge is being increased, but what kind of knowledge? Natural knowledge. Now, God is not opposed to natural knowledge to knowledge that works in the natural, if it starts from the right source. And so many of the great scientific discoveries have come from believing people. Did you know that? Also come from Jewish people. Many Nobel Prize winners have been Jewish. Why? Well, they have a knowledge of God. They have an open heart to the things of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, think about this. We've talked about it in the authority series when we talked about authority, but listen to this. Here's this knowing God from the way the Bible wants us to. That the God of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, our glorious Father, may give you, this is Ephesians 1, 17, that the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, our glorious Father, may give you spiritual wisdom. Say spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. What was given to Adam and Eve? Not spiritual wisdom. Natural wisdom. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Have you ever read that? The wise in this world are foolish to God. The wisdom of this world. That's what opened up in them when they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. It says that God wants to give you, or we're praying, actually Paul's praying this prayer by the Holy Spirit, may give unto you spiritual wisdom and revelation. Say revelation. Listen, you can read the Bible through 100 times. You can read it through every year. But I'm telling you, if you don't get revelation of what you're reading, you only get just, it's kind of like eating the crumbs that fall off the table. Do you some good, but it won't do you the good that God intended for it to do. You need the revelation that goes along with it. That he may give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in what? In knowing him. That's what we want to do, is know him. To know him. Amen. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, I believe that the heart part of man can receive input from both the soul and the spirit. So what's he praying about? That your heart will be enlightened. In other words, where's the input coming from? From the spirit man. That your heart will be enriched by the spirit man, be enlightened so that you may know, here it is again, know full personal knowledge, full personal revelation, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. All right, what do you want to know about God? Well, the hope means his plan or his future. What's in his mind about our future? The hope of his calling. What is that? Well, God didn't put you here on this earth. That's right. He didn't put you here on this earth as a don't matter. Don't matter what I do, I'm just me. Yes, it does. Every one of us has position and place in him. We have a calling. Say calling. We have a calling. And that you may know the hope or plan of his calling. And that you may know what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the Kedoshim, in the saints. That you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance. Now, I believe that's talking about his glory and the way that his glory working among us acts as everything we need. Everything we need. You hear people talk about T cells? A lot about T cells. A T cell can become whatever kind of a... Well, I believe the glory of God working in you will do the same thing. It'll build. Listen, we're going to start seeing miracles where limbs are going to be restored. Amen. People's fingers been shut off. Blind eyes are going to be open. We're going to start seeing this. The eyes of the blind will see. The lame will walk and run. Amen. There's going to be restoration. I told you that you're in a special place. You have, you are living in a time when we're going to see these things if we don't give up. If we stay in that place, if we keep ourselves positioned, that your eyes, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glorious inheritance in the Kedoshim, and what is his exceedingly great power. Oh, we're going to see the power of God like people have never seen it before. In fact, the Bible says it'll be like the former rain and the latter rain. How come it's getting so warm in here? Are you guys emanating heat? It is hot. It's warm for me too. It isn't warm over there, huh? Well, come over here and stand by me. Well, I'll be done in a minute. We'll get out of here. Hey, maybe that's it. John 17, 26, Jesus says, praying again, he's praying. He says, I made your name known unto them. That's what his plan was. When Yeshua was talking to us, he wasn't just trying to tell us about the Father. He was trying to make him known. Say known. Really intimately known unto us. To know him. To know him. Amen. I made your known and will continue to make it known so that the love, when you really know his name, you know the love with which you've loved me may be in them and I in them. So everything about knowing and receiving or taking the grace of God has to do with trust that what Yeshua said about him is true. I believe it. Faith comes by hearing. I believe it. Everything that has to do with trusting God begins with knowing his love. I know his love. Listen, you can't shake me about the love of God. You can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't be attacked with fear, but I don't need to take it. I can cast it down. I can overcome it with the word of my testimony. What does the word of my testimony sound like? Well, it isn't just about when I got born again. The word of my testimony is what I believe the word says about us. Amen. What? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. I belong to him. He's in me and I'm in him. That's the word of my testimony.
I think offense is the devil's biggest hope, you know, to us, that if we can take offense over something someone said, did, acted,
that's right.
Behaved, he's got us.
That's right. And there's a real good reason, because even though we don't see it this way, it's taken one big step out of love.
That's right.
And when you step out of love, you actually can get where the devil wants you to be. But we don't want to be there. But you're right. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's
right.
That's right. You know, and I feel like in my job especially, I have the ability to lay hands and feel that Holy Spirit anointing on people. And if people don't know him, I put my hands on their feet at the end and I pray silently.
Mm-hmm.
That they would feel the impartation of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If they're believers, I pray out loud. And the other day, a woman who I don't know that she's a believer, but out in the front of the salon, saying goodbye to me, she goes, oh, that was the best massage ever. You just make my spirit. My spirit feels so much better after you work on me. And it was.
You said mission accomplished.
I said, because it is his spirit imparting through me.
Amen.
And to me, I feel like that's where we all are.
Amen.
Let his spirit ooze out of us throughout the day. He says, lest we become servants of all, that our number one thing is to go out into the world and see where we can be a blessing.
That's right.
See how we can serve.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it right there. That's the place. Say the place. Say
position.
That's what you just described, a position. We're in a position. See, when the people come in to your shop and they submit themselves to your ministry, they're positioning themselves. Now, everyone doesn't have to receive what you got, but at least they're positioned for that time. And that's the thing. Same way with our speaking the word to the blind. Everybody doesn't have to receive it, but at least they're in a position to receive it. The same way with us. When we step over into that area of offense, it's all about position. What have we done? Well, take the shower again. I stepped out from under where the water comes out. I stepped out from under the giving of God, the blessing of God, the grace of God. I've stepped away from it, but it's not hard to get back. You don't have to stand there and say, oh, no, I've blown it. It's hopeless. You can just say, oh, I'm out from under the water. I'm getting back. I'm going back. Praise God. And that's what Jacob did in Vayishalek. He's heading back to the land of promise. He's going back to the place, back to the position, back to the place that God said. And that's what we need to do. In Galatians 5:6, and here we get to this heart of this thing, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, for in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any meaning, but only trust and faithfulness expressing itself through love, when we know His love. And that's talking about knowing Him intimately again. Then in Romans 5:5, we read this, and hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Where did that happen? Well, you were in position. You were in the place. And the love of God got poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, who was given to you. Now, this happens both to know Him, but also having received, you may freely give. See, anything that God gives you, you can give. Did you know that? That's important to understand. Whatever God has given you, He's given it to you to impart to others. Whatever God has given me in spiritual knowledge, that's why I preach. That's why I teach, is to impart. I can give it. But it's the same way with all of us. We can give it. Listen, laying on of hands is a giving. If you look at it the right way, that anointing that's in you is tangible. It's tangible. It may be felt. It may be transferred. Praise God. That's why we lay hands. That's why, what a wonderful profession, laying hands on people. Amen. Wonderful. And you know, the devil will do anything he can to keep that blessing from flowing through you. He'll use any kinds of devices he can, but you know, you see his devices and you overcome them through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. So let's look on just a little further. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God is truly made perfect. This is 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God is made perfect. We know that we're in Him by this. Whoever claims to abide in Him must walk as He walked. Do you see position? Do you see that you can answer the question, where are you, with these answers? I'm in Him. Amen. I'm walking as He walked. How did Yeshua walk when the Pharisees tried to offend Him? How did He walk? Huh? That's right, peace and love. He did not become offended. Amen. He told Peter, you are an offense. But you know what? He didn't take offense, did he? So here it is again. We're talking about your soul and your spirit. How you can stay where you belong. Say, I want to be where I belong. In Romans 8:12, we'll finish with this portion of Scripture, the 12th through the 17th verses. It says, so then, brothers and sisters, we do not owe anything to the flesh. Think about what the flesh has done for you. Think about what you've gotten from the flesh. Say, pain. Listen, I heard Andrew Womack say the other day, I've missed out on a lot of stuff being a Christian. He said, I've missed out on a lot of pain, a lot of sickness, a lot of poverty. I missed out on a lot of things. So you don't owe anything to the flesh. Well, yeah, but you know, it's my flesh. No, It's the Spirit's flesh. It's the flesh that the Spirit of God's moving through you. We don't owe anything to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Remember what we said up here? If you claim to be in Him, you need to walk as He walked. So if you're walking in the flesh, you're not walking like He walked. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. Now that's pretty pointed, isn't it? If you live according to the flesh, you must die. Now, I'm just telling you right now, I'm doing what I can do to stay out of the flesh walk because I don't like that alternative. Do you? You want to die? No, I don't want to die. Well, then don't walk according to the flesh. Well, what would I know? Well, I'll tell you what, I sure told them. Well, I'm going to tell you, your spirit didn't tell them. Your flesh told them. Isn't that right? I let them have it. What part of you let them have it? If you're letting them have the things of the Spirit of God, you would never refer to it that way. He says, if you walk according to the flesh, you surely die. You must die. But if by the Spirit, the Ruach, you put to death, say put to death, what are you doing? Well, putting to death has a connection to casting down imaginations, overthrowing the strongholds in your mind. It all has to do with that, doesn't it? You put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. If, let me read it again, if you live according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Ruach, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For all who are led by the Ruach Elohim. What is that? How do you translate that? Ruach Elohim. What? That's right. The Spirit of God. Elohim. Spirit of God. And Creator's fine on that, by the way. The Ruach Elohim, these are the sons of God. Oh, yes. You couldn't put anything to death if it wasn't for His taking our sins in His own body on the tree and being put to death in our behalf. But because He has done that from the Spirit, we can control the flesh and cause that we can put to death what has already been done. You know, one of the things people don't realize that even though Jesus died for you, your soul can still act like the devil. And so in that regard, you have to get it back under the death on the cross relationship. And that's putting it to death. And that's what he means. In fact, Paul put it this way, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what are we doing? We're taking these deeds of the flesh, putting them to death by the Word of God, by taking the Word and putting the Word, casting down the imaginations, casting down the high thoughts that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. All who are led by the Ruach Elohim, these are the sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Doesn't make any difference if you're male or female, you get to be a son in this regard. Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. There it is, right there. There it is. A walk in the flesh is a walk subject to fear. A walk in the flesh, in fact, the Bible says all of the lifetime people are subject to the fear of death. That's what Hebrews tells us. The fear of death is the ultimate of what fear is about, fear of death. Well, if you've been delivered from fear, you've been delivered from the fear of death. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. Rather, you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba! The Father is just the translation following Abba. Abba is the word. Abba. Daddy. Daddy. Amen? We cry it out. But why? Because we've been so completely adopted, we are children of God. There's no, even the blood has been changed. Amen? There's a bloodline that runs through us. The Spirit Himself, the Ruach Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah, indeed, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad to know that you know where you are? Where are you? I'm in Him. How are you in Him? I'm walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I'm living to the Spirit. I'm walking as Yeshua walked. Amen. Am I doing it perfectly? No, but I'm getting better. Praise God, I'm getting better all the time. How do I get better? I slip and fall, and I get up and start over again. I get out from under the spout, but I see right away that I'm not getting what I want, so I turn and get back in. Can you do that? Is it a hard job? How hard would it have been for Adam and Eve to say, this is stupid to hide from God. Let's get out of here and go. I mean, He knows we're naked. Wouldn't have been hard at all. But you see what the flesh had done to them? It had become a ruling factor in their life, and they could not do what they wanted to do. They couldn't do it until God covered their sin. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are you? Where are you? There's so many parts to this, I'll tell you. As I first started seeing this, the Lord just started speaking over different areas. I'd read a section in Scripture and I said, there it is again, where am I? There it is again, where am I? Yeah, that's right. That's where we need to be, is always available to God. Be available to God. Let everything else fall by the wayside. There's nothing as important as your relationship with Him. Amen? And that relationship, it doesn't start in the house of God, but it includes coming together, doesn't it? It doesn't start there, actually. It started in your heart. But you know, once you've got it in your heart, you should be seeking out that relationship with others. Amen? That kind of thing where we come together, congregate, and grow together. Amen? Thank you, Father. Oh, I thank you that we're learning about walking in the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of our flesh, about not letting ourselves be so caught up in all of the things that the world has to offer that we somehow just forget about You. And then weekly or biweekly or whenever we get back together, we get a little dose again. Lord, let's make it today for us, Father, that we're going to make some changes. We're going to start walking as You walked. We're going to start talking as You talked. We're going to start hearing the things You hear. We're going to reject the things of the enemy, reject the things of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the fleshly part, the carnal part. Because if we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, we're the children of God, and we are Your children. Call by Your name. Thank You, Father. Ivorekaka Adonai Voyishimereka. Yair Adonai Panav Eleka Vikaneka. Yisa Adonai Panav Eleka Vesim Laka Shalom. Yahweh blesses you. Yahweh keeps you, guards you. He makes His face shine upon you. He's happy with you. The Lord loves you. He's gracious unto you. He's disposed to show favor. Yahweh lifts you up in the light of His countenance, a glorious relationship that we have with Him, and gives you shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. That broken relationship, our shalom being taken from us, has been overridden forever. We walk in shalom. We live in shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.